Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski from Fox 43, all here talking some Penn State football show coming at you live from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Here, we got a good show coming up. We're going to do a little stock up, stock down, as we usually do, coming out of the Penn State-Illinois game, looking ahead to Penn State-Ohio State, which we will do a little bit later in the show. Our picks for that game coming up right after this. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 helps us break it down, and Doug Lamories from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer will give us Ohio State's side, what to look for from the Buckeyes coming to Beaver Stadium this weekend. And guys, the stock up, stock down, a really interesting game to do this for 63-24 win over Illinois, but it wasn't all pretty. Felt like that Pitt game to some extent, where Penn State got beat up a little bit, especially on the ground, the first 30 minutes of that game before they eventually take over. The prevailing thought, at least for me, is, you know, how much of that can you get away with from Ohio State? And that's, you know, that's the essence of what we're dealing with going into that night game.
The biggest problem, I think, to me, is that you look at what Penn State has accomplished so far this year, and it's not been against the caliber of opponent that they're going to face on Saturday. So I think we all knew going into the season that week five would be when we really found out what this Penn State team is, and I'm as convinced of that now as I was in August. I mean, this is just... the offense puts up a ton of points, but will it do it against, Ohio State's like a top 50 defense and near at the back end of the top 50. They're not world beaters, but again, will all the things that have worked so far this year against lesser competition work against the best opponent they'll face on Saturday? That'll tell us who's going to win this game.
Todd, why don't you start with a little stock up, stock down for us? You want to lead off for us? Who's up in your eyes?
Well, I could easily just go Miles Sanders, Big Ten player of the week, 200 yards rushing on 22 carries, but you know, he'll be the first to admit the stock up is on the offensive line. Oh, and yeah. I'll go straight to the offensive line because Miles Sanders wasn't the only one that had a lot of rushing success against Illinois. Trace McSorley, Ricky Slade, anybody that touched the ball, Journey Brown made it to the end zone across the goal line because of the offensive line. So no doubt a big stock up for the offensive line.
And I think it's you can say, oh, it was Illinois, and I know Illinois is pretty ill-equipped up front in the trenches and that Penn State, you know, should have dominated them. But this is a position group going back years where you can't take any kind of domination for granted anymore. And I think in that respect, it marked a pretty healthy step forward. This is one of the most intriguing things to me about this Ohio State matchup is, can they replicate that against the Ohio State defensive line that has a lot of talented guys? I don't know if it's 100%, but Nick Bosa with that abdominal injury had surgery. I don't think we're going to see him. So can Penn State's offensive line really pave the way? It's going to go a long way toward determining if Penn State can win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing to me is, you know, you can say that Nick Bosa not playing, and look, maybe it turns out that he does play, but you know, you need to be a superhuman to have that surgery and come back and play a week later. You know,
in his defense, he might be.
He might be, yeah. You know, we talked to Doug earlier, and somebody at Cleveland.com spoke to a medical expert who said 6 to 8 weeks is the typical timeline for recovery for this kind of injury. So I just think it's very unlikely that we see him. But the thing with Ohio State that Penn State doesn't quite have yet is they just roll another five-star out there. He might not be a likely top five NFL draft pick, but he's still a stud. So good test for this group. I agree with you guys. Though, stock up for them. This guy, you know, I know a lot of people were frustrated in the App State game about how they played. They've been terrific the last 3 weeks. So I guess to move the conversation forward, I'll go stock up to, you know, a guy I think that maybe has been a little bit under the radar, but has certainly been propelling this offense in different ways, and that's Ricky Slade. I mean, there's a lot of people that are frustrated that he fumbled twice at Pittsburgh, but other than that, what bad things has he done? He was put into a bigger role with Mark Allen not making the trip. We don't know what happened to him. Fox said on the broadcast that he was hurt in practice. We don't know to what extent or anything like that, but Ricky Slade has really done what a five-star running back recruit is supposed to do. He's made this offense go, and he did it again on Saturday, or Friday rather. That still feels weird to say.
Yeah, still weird. So that was part of the issue, I think, is playing at Friday night 9 p.m. in your local in Eastern time, so that's where Penn State players were. It's just a strange feeling. Ricky Slade and Miles Sanders, I think, both bring similar things to the table, which is just a certain quickness about them to get up the field in a hurry and a little bit of wiggle. It's I don't think they're dancing guys. And contrary to what Miles Sanders did, what was it, week one against App State where he tried to hurdle a guy? That's not really
first carry.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to mention who that is like, but he tried to hurdle
like
just like some
Saquon
other guy.
Barkley.
There you go.
And I think to that end, Saquon Barkley starting to disappear a little bit from the talking points because Miles Sanders is owning it. He's my stock up. I understand there was room to work with, but I just think it was more than the 200 yards. I think it's just the way that he's run the football so far. There's not a lot of dancing. There's no wasted motion whatsoever, which I think is important. One of the criticisms of Saquon, and I think you could even say it now, is that, you know, the desire to turn everything into a big play. I think Miles Sanders is starting to shake that loose from his system a little bit, and he can make big plays by hitting creases and hitting him hard. I think he has a chance to have a really big day and make his big arrival. I think at Illinois, the 200 yards is big, but if he can play a hand in beating Ohio State, this would go a long way for him. He's my stock up. I know it's easy, but he's my stock up.
Pretty good one. I'll go on the defensive side of the ball too, and I'll go with Jonathan Sutherland as a stock up. And I mean, look, he got a lot of playing time, a lot of, you know, they rotated a lot of defensive guys in. But what I noticed when I saw him was just great tackling. And that was an issue the first couple of weeks. I think guys were bouncing off guys. And, you know, like Garrett Taylor had some issues with some tackling. Garrett Taylor was also up on the tackles list too. But I really liked what I saw at Jonathan Sutherland from a run defense type point of view. Of course, you don't want your safeties and your secondary leading the team in tackling. But when called upon, I thought he did a nice job.
Yeah, no, he was really good. I was going to say the guy you mentioned, I'll stick in the secondary and stock up for Garrett Taylor. I thought he really played at a high level and sort of reminded you of Marcus Allen a little bit. Now, the problem Penn State's going to have against Ohio State is, can it afford to bring its safeties into run coverage so much, and how does that impact its corners? I mean, because they had to roll guys up because the linebackers and defensive line, sure, they were not stopping anybody in the run. We'll get to that in a little bit and stock down, but they were able to get him up there and be productive, and, you know, he answered the bell. He, again, like I said, he reminded you of Mark Allen a little bit, or Marcus Allen, rather, a little bit, just the way he was able to get downhill and attack. So I thought it was a good game for him. We sort of wondered if he would hold on to that starting safety job opposite Nick Scott, and I don't think it's any longer a question.
But Jonathan Sutherland making his presence felt.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think all along, going back to his high school film, he's the guy who looked – you know, from a mentality standpoint, wanted to be physical just like Marcus Allen. I think he'll have to answer questions about whether he can make a play when the ball is in the air. But for now, I mean, I think what he brings to the table is really interesting, and they could use it. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football. Stock up, stock down going into Ohio State week. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, you have to check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, including the Keystone Sports RV, which is well stocked with food from the 409 tailgate guys. You get some tailgate wine, some Labatt Blue beer there. The lot has all that stuff available. You can check them out at GoPSURV.com. I believe you can check into Ohio State Week RVs. Once again, GoPSURV.com. I think stock down on that front. Penn State's linebackers, you know, you mentioned it's not ideal for safeties to be so high up in the tackle sheet. You just saw these guys disappear and get washed away. I don't, you know, I think we talked about it earlier in the week. I don't know what is exactly wrong there, whether they're just not fighting off blocks, whether they're getting washed away in traffic, whether they're taking themselves out of plays. There's probably some combination of all this stuff, but you do know that they better change that in a hurry and not give 30 minutes of Ohio State just a whole lot of leeway, because they will burn you. I want to see Penn State's linebackers, you know, take the next step.
Can we do a combo stock down? Because I think the linebackers are getting tremendous pressure because of the defensive line and some of the lack of work that they're doing. You know, Etor Gross-Mato, Sharif Miller, only one assist to tackle, combination there. Those are your two starting guys, or, you know, two of the guys that you really are counting on to get some pass rush. Not a lot of pass rush against Illinois. I know they're trying to get rid of the ball quickly. So, you know, that's that's they're not doing enough to help out the linebackers at this point, you know, who are inexperienced, and they're, you know, you're trying to cover up what is a young group, and I don't say a weakness because they're good players, but you know, from in comparison to everything else, you know, that's an area that was stocked down.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem at this point, guys, is that Penn State, you know, they go out and get 7 sacks against Kent State, and then they go to Illinois, and the pressure just wasn't there more often than not. And it's a question of what is this group going to do now when it faces the best offensive line it'll face. We saw 2 years ago, Garrett Sickles was a man possessed, and now he missed the first half of that game, but he came out in the second half and was a man possessed. And, you know, obviously Marcus Allen and Grant Haley have the block kick return for a touchdown that wins Penn State the game, but it's easy to say that without Garrett Sickles, Penn State probably is not in that position to begin with. So I think if they can get a guy to play like that, at least one guy to play like that, play with that man possessed sort of endlessly in the backfield, always at Dwayne Haskins' doorstep, then they will have a chance to win this game. They need that to be a stuck up this time next week.
And you brought up the end of the game 2 years ago. Look, Tariq Castro Fields had a pick six go right through his hands, yeah, or close to a pick six. That can't happen against Ohio State. You get a chance to make a play, a turnover, you got to make it happen. And just, you know, a couple of quick other stock up situations to mention.
Stock down right there.
A producer phone going off. Two quick situational stock ups, third down conversions, 9 of 11, and then also red zone scoring chances. I mean, look, they're 22 of 22. 21 of them are touchdowns. So this isn't a team that settles for field goals very often, which, of course, I'd like to see a little bit more work from Jake Pinniger, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But offensively, they have been just stuffing the ball in the end zone.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see Micah Parsons lined up Khalil Mack style against a quarterback in Dwayne Haskins this week that isn't going to make a lot of plays outside the pocket. You collapse that pocket. I want to see the Micah Parsons show. I know that he's been doing some nice things, but I think his bread and butter is getting after the passer, and I think he's probably, from a pure raw talent standpoint, he's Penn State's best in a lot of ways, but I think he could emerge as Penn State's best threat to rush the passer.
Not a lot of time left, but do you guys think Penn State, if they could do it over, would leave him at defensive end instead of moving him to linebacker?
I think that's probably pretty fair, but
I would say no.
Okay.
Because they wanted to try him at middle first.
Right.
I think they saw a glaring need, and for his ability.
There's still a glaring need. That's
well,
the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go side to side.
Right.
You know what I mean? To get him going left, to get him going right. I think they would still have him there because I think they thought they would get more production out of the guys that are at defensive line. Now, looking back on it, I don't know, but I still think they would do the same thing.
But you can still have it both ways as a linebacker who
right.
you use them to bring pressure. That's what I want to see. And I'm selfish. That's what I want to see. We're going to look ahead a little bit more into this matchup. Penn State, Ohio State, Saturday night under the whiteout lights at Beaver Stadium. We'll give our pick and our matchup analysis right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.